The Girl Who Stole the Moon's Name, a fantasy novel written by Frederick B. Halloway, narrated by Douglas Price. Thank you for listening. The book begins now. Prologue. The name tore from her like a rib. Mirith felt it go, a hook of absence dragged through the center of her being, leaving a wound that pulsed with a cold fiercer than the void between stars. She doubled over on her throne of compressed moonlight, fingers clawing at the armrest. The court froze, literally. The perpetual dance of ice particles that drifted through her great hall halted mid-swirl, a thousand tiny mirrors suspended in judgment. "Mother of Tides," whispered Orsa, her eldest handmaiden, dropping the silver chalice she'd been carrying. It shattered. The sound was obscene in the stillness. Mirith couldn't answer. She was too busy being unmade. The name, her name, the one she'd whispered into the foundations of the world when the first tide obeyed her pull, was no longer hers alone. Someone had spoken it. Someone mortal. Someone small. Someone whose throat should have burned to ash at the syllables. And they hadn't just spoken it. They'd taken it, carved it into themselves like a splinter of glass shoved under skin. She threw her head back and screamed. Above the kingdom of Kedra, the moon cracked. It wasn't the sound any mortal heard. Not with ears, anyway. But every sleeping child woke, every dog pressed its belly to the earth, every tide stuttered in its rhythm, waves forgetting themselves mid-crash. A fissure spittered across the lunar surface, thin as a hair, dark as a secret. And in the Shadow Peak Mountains, where the moon was said to set when it tired of the sky, the mirror of echoes rippled like a pond struck by a stone. Myrit's scream faded. She straightened, breathing hard. And the court resumed its motion all at once, too fast. Ice particles colliding and shattering, handmaidens stumbling into each other. Ursa was already backing away, her face the color of old bone. "Find him," Mirith said. Her voice wasn't loud. It didn't need to be. It traveled through the palace like frost spreading across a window pane. "Bring me the Starhound." Rivendell was in the starlit gallery when the summons came, standing before the tapestry of borrowed faces. He often stood there. The tapestry showed every form the goddess had ever worn to walk among mortals. A shepherdess with lambent eyes, a crone bent like a question mark, a child with starlight spilling from her mouth. Hundreds of faces and not one of them was hers. Not really. His own face, reflected in the polished obsidian frame, was just as borrowed. The summons arrived as a coil of cold that wrapped around his left wrist, the one with the crescent scar, and pulled, not painfully. Pain would have been a kindness, an acknowledgement that he still possessed something capable of being hurt. This was simply direction, purpose, the one thing the goddess permitted him to keep. He turned from the tapestry and walked. The palace corridor stretched before him, carved from moonlight that had been persuaded into solidity. His boots made no sound. Nothing here made sound unless Mirith willed it. The silence was absolute and ancient, broken only by the distant chime of ice crystals colliding somewhere in the upper spires. Two handmaidens passed him in the Hall of Tides, veiled in silver mist, and they flinched. They always flinched. He'd stopped wondering why decades ago, perhaps centuries. Time moved strangely in the court, or perhaps he'd simply stopped counting. The scar on his hand had long since healed, but he remembered the knife that made it. A priest's blade, curved like the moon herself, slicing a promise into his flesh. Serve, seek, return. He remembered his name, too. The one he'd been born with. He kept it buried deep, deeper than the goddess could reach, though he suspected she'd never bother to look. What use did she have for the name of a hound? The doors to the throne room were open. They were never open. Riven hesitated. One heartbeat. Two. Then he stepped through. The court had emptied. Only Mirith remained, still seated on her throne, but diminished somehow. Her edges blurred, her radiance flickering like a candle in a draft. She looked, for the first time in Riven's memory, almost mortal. Almost. "You felt it," she said. "Not a question." The moon cracked. His voice came out flat. It always did. He'd forgotten how to inflect. All of Kedra felt it. They felt the wound. You felt the theft. Her eyes, twin pools of mercury, fixed on him. "Don't lie to me, Starhound. You've been waiting for this." He had. He hadn't known it until this moment. But yes, some small, buried part of him had been waiting for exactly this. A crack in the eternal order. A flaw in the perfect ice. "Someone spoke your name," he said. "Someone wears my name." Mirith rose. The motion was